This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Another day live right here on Football Full Circle. That is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. You know our charge this week. If there is news and headlines during these summer break weeks in the world of football, whether it be the National Football League or collegiately getting ready for the 2025 campaign, we will bring them to you. But first and foremost, couple of college football sharps like ourselves, the mastermind of the pigskin, that is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We continue going league by league, conference by conference around the nation in college football, looking at some win totals, some teams we think will be successful in 2025, and then, of course, what it might mean for conference championship races in spots in the 12-team college football playoff. Joe, we continue at the Power Four level on this Wednesday. Yesterday, a focus around the ACC and the Big 12. Let's go to the Big 2 in the Power 4, the Big 10 and the SEC here on FFC today.
Yeah, you talk about the Big 10 and the SEC. They have front runners as it relates to the national championship odds. Texas, Georgia, Alabama, LSU in regards to the SEC. But for the Big 10, it's the usual suspects. Oregon, yeah. Penn State, and Ohio State, and maybe a dark horse in terms of Sharon Moore and Michigan. Can they get back on the pinnacle to where they were a couple of years ago where they knocked off the Washington Huskies? We'll see. But again, you know, when you look at just national championship odds, especially as it relates in terms of the offseason, Ben, I think we're in unison and agreement that, you know, we're willing to take a shot on a team like, let's just say, Oregon or Georgia and Texas, because we know they're going to be there for the most part, right? The other conferences, ACC, a little bit more top-heavy, along with the Big 12 as well. That's wide open. It's going to be anybody's guess. But we know that Texas, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, they're going to be in the top 25. Can they jockey and get there to the final stretch run? Only time will tell.
It's a great point, Lisi guy. As we shared last year, in our first year of the 12-team college football playoff, we had four teams hailing from the Big Ten, three out of the SEC, multiple from the ACC as well, the conference champ in Clemson and SMU taking that final at-large berth, and then just the conference champions from the Big 12, Arizona State, one team representing that league, and of course the group of five rep the champions of the Mountain West in Boise State. So when Lisi alludes to that idea that you can find a handful of teams from the Big 10 and the SEC, not just to win a conference championship, but to earn a college football playoff spot and maybe then some value even in an at-large position to win a national championship, like the Buckeyes of Ohio State did as an 8 seed, although that would look very different this time around, there is a lot to discuss. And Lisi guy, let's start in the SEC, and let's start with that national championship favorite in Texas, a plus 550 price on the Longhorns, a half buck in front of Georgia and our reigning national champions in Ohio State, both the Dogs and Bucks at a plus 600 number, 50 cents back. A guy who understands competing at the highest level in the SEC. That's the old ball coach. His name, Steve Spurrier. He was speaking with Pat Dooley, longtime newspaper writer, Florida Gators beat reporter as well, on Dooley's podcast this week. And Joe was asked about the SEC landscape, the SEC slate this year, and the old ball coach had some interesting words about those SEC and title favorites, that being Texas, and the Heisman Trophy favorite as well in Arch Manning. Here's what Spurrier had to say about the Longhorns and that very famous last name in terms of Manning. Quote, people are picking Texas to win the SEC. They've got Arch Manning winning the Heisman. My question is, if he was this good, how come they let Quinn Ewers play last year? He was a seventh round pick. End quote from Spurrier, basically questioning and already anointing Texas as that SEC champ with the Heisman frontrunner in Arch Manning. But this guy couldn't even beat out Quinn Ewers. You see, it's a similar thing that I once got into an argument about with your best friend and my co-host on the early line, Donnie Wrightside. That was his point. It's asinine. I'll explain why in just a moment. But what did you make of what Spurrier had to say about the Longhorns and Arch?
I think he's part right, and part, obviously, that's the argument that a lot of people will say. But again, you're talking about a quarterback, let's not forget, in Quinn Ewers, that led Texas to a college football semifinal just a couple of years ago and lost to Washington and Michael Penix, right? And then he returns. And even though Arch Manning is potentially the five-star recruit and he comes with the fanfare and he comes with all the hype of the Manning name, you still had to give the benefit of the doubt to Quinn Ewers because of the leader of that team. And at the end of the day, we know that Texas had the bullseye on their back last year. They couldn't regress. They had to move forward. There couldn't be any in terms of growing pains, especially at the quarterback position. They had to go with best man and best experience forward to get that team to where they were. Now, you can make the argument that when Quinn Ewers in that semifinal playoff loss to Ohio State, when all the chips are in the middle of the table, that would be an opportunity maybe to pull the trigger, but certainly not at the start of the season. You know, you're talking about a quarterback that did put up numbers. Granted, he was a seventh-round pick, but you're still giving him the benefit of the doubt. And at the end of the day, it is Texas. We talk about the money. We talk about the hype. We talk about the fact that they came up just short. Sarkisian had no room of error in terms of that team last year. He had to go with the best experience to put them in a position to win a national championship. It didn't work out, and now the stage is set for Arch. We'll see where Arch is. Is he as elite as everybody's making him out to be? I need to see it against top 10 opponents. It's one thing to beat up against UL Monroe and Mississippi State in terms of garbage opponents. Let's see you do it from the start to the finish against the likes of Georgia and Alabama, respectively. If he could do that, they're going to be deserving of that price this season.
No doubt about it, Joe. And I think what you hit on right there is really, really well said. In fact, perfectly stated. We had talked about this for the last two seasons. If Quinn Ewers lost his job to Arch Manning because of anything outside of injury, which we saw Arch make multiple starts in 2024 because of the abdomen strain that Quinn Ewers suffered early in the year. If Quinn Ewers lost his job to Arch Manning, that was going to be a bad sign for Texas. Why can I say that? Joe, there have been two perfectly rated quarterback recruits out of high school. At the time that they left high school, out of high school in terms of the composite rating. That means 1.0000, 100%. Vince Young, Quinn Ewers. Where did they both end up playing? In the burnt orange of Austin. Arch Manning pretty close to that distinction, but not quite. And Quinn Ewers in his first 4 years as a starter at Texas was darn good. He was fantastic for the Longhorns in 2023. Now, you can question Steve Sarkisian and his decision-making after it was pretty evident, Joe, that Quinn Ewers was not fully healthy down the stretch of the 2024 season for Texas, and offer up the idea, was Arch Manning a better option than Quinn Ewers? Fine to question that. But because Quinn Ewers was a seventh-round pick, is not justification that Arch Manning sucks because he could not beat out Quinn. We see some of the best college quarterbacks we have ever seen in our lifetime get drafted on day number three or amount to absolutely nothing in the National Football League. Collegiate success at any position, but certainly success at the QB spot, Joe, does not guarantee NFL stardom. In fact, oftentimes far from it. You want to question Arch Manning being the prince that was promised? You don't think Texas is deserving of being the national championship favorite entering 2025, or that we should cool our jets on the Longhorns ever so slightly? Good by me. But the notion that Arch Manning is not a good quarterback because he backed up Quinn Ewers, who was a seventh round pick, is idiotic. We'll talk more about Texas. We'll talk about Arch Manning's future. And if Joe agrees that the Longhorns should be the SEC and national title favorites, all of that up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. That is FFC. We're breaking down the big two of the Power Four. Conference by conference has been our charge here this week on Football Full Circle. Joe, Texas is the favorite to win a national championship at plus 550. Texas is the favorite to win the SEC alongside Georgia, same price, plus 290, but the Longhorns 50 cents in front of UGA when it comes to claiming that national championship. And of course, Arch Manning at a 7-1 number is that Heisman Trophy favorite and frontrunner entering 2025. Some people, including Steve Spurrier, as we spent our opening segment discussing, are a little bit more hesitant to just crown Arch Manning and this year's Texas team those national championship and Heisman favorites. Where do you fall, Lisi guy, on the Longhorns under Sark entering 2025?
I think they're going to be a good team. Are they going to be a 12-0 dominant football team? I'm not so sure, and I wouldn't bet on that in terms of having the best price in the SEC. I would take a shot potentially on the Georgia Bulldogs to win a national championship and potentially win the SEC. We know what happened to them last year. The concerns for Texas are twofold. Let's take Arch out of the equation, right? You look at the rushing attack. Obviously, you know, C.J. Baxter comes back from injury. They have Wisner. You know, it's a little bit of a different backfield now when you see Blue and the other players move on. Wide receiver concerns, Isaiah Bond, even though he didn't step up, he moves on, and obviously their leading receiver, Matt Golden, and their tight end helm. So that's where the concerns are. We know they have speed. We know they have talent. They took defensive hits. That secondary was coached up last year. Taft comes back. But the problem is, can they just take off from where they were last year with the new additions? Sometimes that takes a month or two to come into fruition. So for me, I'm not willing just because Arch is under center. Oh, they're a legitimate contender. And the 290 price for the SEC is, you know, signed, sealed, delivered. No way. I think there's other value across the board. Does that mean they can make the playoff? Absolutely not. I think Sark has done a fantastic job. He's led them to back-to-back appearances. But now as the front runner with the bullseye on their back with so many unknowns, that's the cause. The betting aspect in that aspect, I can't do it right now.
Minus 290, Joe, for Texas to make the college football playoff. If that did not happen, if the converse of the 290, the plus 225 price to miss the CFP became apparent, I would be stunned. Now, does Texas win a national championship? Does Texas even win the SEC title, as they were booked as the favorites in that game against Georgia a year ago before losing to the Dogs in OT? I don't know. Will they be a 9 or 10 win football team with a shot at the college football playoff? Absolutely. I expect the Longhorns to be in the 12-team field this year. For me, Joe, I still believe in Arch Manning. Again, the idea that Arch is not as good of a quarterback as we once anticipated because he couldn't beat out Quinn Ewers last year is dumb to me. I think Arch is going to be great this season. And in the glimpses we have seen Arch Manning, in large part, he has been really, really good and quite a good athlete. They return a lot in terms of their skill position. Ryan Wingo, the speedster, he's back in the wide receiver core. As you mentioned, C.J. Baxter, Quintrevion Weisner, all of them back in the backfield as well. Jarrett Gibson, the big bruising back in there for Texas as well. And up front, Joe, defensively, Colin Simons is back. One of the better players last year in college football. Their leader in the secondary, Michael Taffey, is back. They lose Jahdae Barron, the Jim Thorpe Award winner for best DB in the country, but Malik Muhammad remains in Texas for another year in Austin. The Longhorns are loaded. Again, 10 wins, college football playoff. Yeah, nobody in the SEC, I should tell you, at least based on actual number, has a win total of 10+. Texas has the best, 9.5, the over heavily juiced at minus 195. Georgia, 9.5, the over also heavily juiced at minus 170. But there's three teams in the Big Ten, Oregon, Ohio State, and Penn State in that order, that all have a win total of 10.5. The under, a slight bit of juice on all three of those prices. Joe, let's talk about Georgia quickly here before we go around a little bit more in the SEC, give out a conference bet we like or a win total in this league. Georgia also a 9.5 win total. Co-favorites with Texas currently on FanDuel at plus 290 to win the SEC championship once again. Of course, it is Gunnar Stockton's show now in Athens, and a ton of returning talent on that defensive side of the football for Kirby Smart. How do you evaluate UGA entering 2025?
Look, to me, there's no doubt UGA is a college football playoff contender. All they do is reload. Forget the quarterbacks and the skilled talent, right? We're talking about the interior line. That's where games are won or lost, and that's where I honestly believe Georgia will reload back in 2025. I know they took a little bit of a step back from where they were from the national championship years last year. They lose a ton of talent on the edge in terms of Walker and Williams. But to me, this team is still loaded, and that's where I buy into Kirby Smart and that staff more than anybody else. Take the quarterback out of it. We know Gunnar Stockton now has experience for the most part. You play in an SEC championship game in the second half, and then obviously a college football playoff loss to Notre Dame. You're ready for year number two, and I think they're going to be there. I would bet Georgia at the 6-1 price for the national championship. I would bet Georgia to win the SEC championship, and I would certainly take a shot on over the 9.5 because I think at worst they're a 10-win football team.
Yeah, I would as well, Joe. I think Georgia, anytime you can get them not as a short solo favorite in the SEC, you've got some pretty good value on the Bulldogs, at least in my estimation. Again, some of those starters last year for that Georgia defense not returning, like Lisi mentioned, Mykel Williams up front, just to name a few. Also, what the other guy I'm blanking on, Jalen Walker, also drafted early in the 2025 NFL draft. They lose some talent from the secondary. They will be reloaded for a lot of guys that have been on the roster and contributors under Kirby Smart this year. 51% of the defense back. Anytime you lose a quarterback, Joe, you're not going to have a ton of returning production. But we know Gunnar Stockton has the belief of those in Athens around him. They're wide receivers from last year as well. Dylan Bell is back. Kobe Young is back. Zachariah Branch, one of the big transfers and speedsters from USC, makes his way to Athens. We'll continue to give you some win total bets that we like and conference championship numbers to pay attention to around the SEC on the other side of the break here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Efoxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
All right, Lisi guy, that being the mastermind of the college football pigskin, we said we go conference by conference to find some value, looking at win totals and a couple of those conference championship prices. We have hit on the favorites in the SEC, but Lisi, if you were going to highlight a win total in the Southeastern Conference, which team do you look to?
Well, I don't want to be called a homer, but I still buy into LSU's win total this year. I mean, 8.5 for the Tigers to me at minus 134 is, again, it's do or die for Brian Kelly. I know, back behind me, I know.
No.
I know.
Can you just like move a little bit real quick just to say, is that LSU in the end zone behind you? I think that's an LS. Yeah. Okay, just making sure. Go ahead. Sorry, you were saying. Yeah.
Okay. But can we talk about it from a talent perspective now? Okay.
Please.
When you have you know, everybody talks about Arch Manning, rightfully so. The hype is there, right? But Nussmeier's right behind him. He's a riverboat gambler. But again, we talk about skill position. We talk about, you know, how this team looks just from an offensive perspective. And it looks similar on paper, at least, to the team back in 2019. When you talk about the wide receiver talent, Aaron Anderson, you talk about Barrion Brown, you talk about Nick Anderson, two transfers from Kentucky and Oklahoma. Yeah. You sprinkle in that Harold Perkins is coming back from an ACL. That was a huge addition. Whit Weeks, you know, at the linebacker position. I mean, it goes on and on. Man. And Blake Baker in year number two. You can make a similar assessment to the transition and progression of how Jim Knowles elevated Ohio State's defense to maybe the – and I'm saying maybe – the path that LSU was on with Blake Baker, right? First year is a filling out process. They had one of the best sack totals in the conference, especially at the regular end of the regular season. Now in year number two, everybody that's there fits the scheme. This should be a dominant defense. I know the schedule is difficult, but here it is. You cannot be 8-4. How about that? Because Brian Kelly's on the hot seat. I keep saying it. You win an SEC West championship, you knock off Nick Saban in year number one, you cannot regress. It just cannot be. You can't lose to Marcel Reed and Texas A&M the way you did in the second half and then fall off a cliff to some of the other teams like Florida and Alabama and get blown out. Just can't happen. So for me, this is it. A make it or break it bet. It's minus 134, at worst 9-3.
Yeah, listen, Lisi guy, I completely agree. There is so much talent there. Garrett Nussmeier, I think you could argue, is the best returning quarterback at the starting position within the SEC, maybe in all of college football. Same program, same spot, who has started at least a majority of his team's games from a year ago. He's got so much talent around him. You mentioned Nick Anderson from OU, Barrion Brown from Kentucky. Aaron Anderson is back as well, a great possession receiver for the Bayou Bengals. Where did LSU struggle in 2023 and early in 2024 running the football? Aiden Durham brings back that congruency as well. You got to replace your two anchors on the O-line and Will Campbell, who is the fourth pick in the NFL draft, and Emory Jones on the other side, but they should be able to do so. Defensively, Joe, that's still the story for me. I hear your point, right? Better, but not good. Better, but certainly not elite SEC championship caliber defensively a year ago. Still the third worst scoring defense in the conference, allowing more than 24 points per game. That needs to be so much better for LSU to be in consideration for a college football playoff spot. But that linebacking core, Whit Weeks and Harold Perkins Jr. return. And they had a couple of great additions to the transfer portal on the edges. Jack Pyburn coming over from Florida. And I think a guy in Patrick Payton who still has more to give, the FSU transfer, certainly helped bolster at least talent-wise on paper.
Yeah, I mean, Payton is interesting, right? Because he didn't live up to expectations of Florida State, potentially the best edge rusher they had, and then was non-existent for the regular season. New landscape, new scheme, potentially he can elevate. So we'll see. Again, you know, Brian Kelly has no room for error. And I say that because the talent is there. You got to step up. You got to coach it up now, and we'll see how it plays out. I will say the one under I like for plus money, and it might shock you because I bought into the program. But again, when you see the turnover in talent, I do have concerns. Ole Miss, I'm willing to take an under 8.5 at plus 128 with the quarterback concerns, knowing how that defense elevated and they moved on. I'm not suggesting they're 6-6, but I think 8-4 might be the cap this year. And at plus 128, I might sell it.
You know, Lisa Guy, I think it's a really good point. We'll talk a little bit more about the SEC and the running Rebs on the other side of the break. But one of the reasons we loved Ole Miss the last few years was that returning production in their key spots, led by quarterback Jackson Dart, who takes over in the Grove. We'll talk about it next year on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. You could argue at times Lisi's two SEC teams the past few years, LSU and Ole Miss. So for Lisi to say an 8.5 win total for the Rebs might be trending to the under should catch your attention. Of course, a lot of lost production from a season ago. Lisi, we talked about Georgia, 96th in the country out of 136 FBS programs in terms of returning production. Who's right ahead of them? Ole Miss, 95th in the country. Not a great sign. I believe, unless I am missing something here, that is the bottom two in terms of the SEC. Yeah, the fewest returning production out of the Southeastern Conference, both in Athens and in Oxford. And a lot of that, of course, Joe, will focus on the quarterback position. Who takes the reins more than likely from Jackson Dart? That would be Austin Simmons, the lefty who was a reliever for the Running Rebs baseball team this year. But Austin Simmons, Joe, takes over the reins for a Lane Kiffin offense that we expect to be explosive, but yet going to look slightly different in 2025.
Yeah, so he has a live arm, right? He's very athletic, and he can, you know, potentially put up Jackson Dart type of numbers. But again, we're talking about the inexperience. He's a redshirt sophomore, hasn't played in a whole lot of action. He's going to have to go on the road and win in tough environments. And if we're talking, like, they have a road game against Georgia. Georgia lost to them last year in the Grove. It's going to be very difficult for Austin Simmons, in my opinion, to pull out a victory against Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll see. Yeah. Logan Diggs takes over for that rushing attack with Bentley, right? That moves on to the NFL. Logan Diggs has been banged up. Certainly one of the top running backs when he was healthy in the conference. We'll see if they can elevate. Walter Nolan, their edge rusher that led that team in terms of, you know, just being physical. One of the best rushing defenses in all of college football, 80 rushing yards a game. They move on. Watkins and Harris move on, the two big play wide receivers. What do you get? They get transfers in, but the question is, when we talk about returning production and we talk about production as a whole, they're a new quarterback, new wide receivers, new patchwork offensive line for the most part. And oh, by the way, your best defensive player is now in the NFL. And they still didn't make the playoff last year when they had everything for the taking. And now we're expecting this team to be 10-2 or 11-1. Right. I can't do it. From a betting perspective, in the offseason, I'm willing to take the plus money under 8.5 and reassess as the situation or the season plays out. Hey, I'd be the first one to admit if they start 7-0, we could always take them for a playoff appearance or a natty price at that time.
So, of course, when you're looking at win total, right, roster, returning production, all that is incredibly important. But there are more contributing factors, including who is on the slate, right? How many games are you going to be favored? What is that strength of schedule looking like? I have a tough time at times, Joe, using the FPI, the Football Power Index of ESPN, because basically everybody in the SEC has a world beater schedule, right? And we have these strength of schedule conversations for a league that plays 8 conference games and this league plays 9 conference games, but scheduling powers aren't determined by the programs within their own conference. It is why we will always have scheduling imbalance. It is one of the things we used to enjoy about college football, but now not so much, that regionality and the geographic differences. So I take what I'm about to say even with a grain of salt. Joe, all 16 SEC schools have 16 of the 20 hardest schedules, including the Football Power Index. That, I think, only boosts the consideration, because if you lose to a team that's 3-5 at the time, but their FPI rating and their power index rating still has them as one of the top 35 teams in the country, thus making their schedule difficult. Are you getting the true picture or the projected picture of what that team looks like? So everything in terms of strength of schedule to me is relative, to others it is not. Ole Miss has the second easiest schedule out of the SEC, and just comparing like to like, that is probably why the win total is still 8.5 and the over has the juice. Who has the hardest schedule, Joe, in the SEC? That would be the boys down in the swamp there in Gainesville, Billy Napier and Florida. So what I'm about to say might sound a little bit crazy, but the first win total I bet, and my favorite win total in this conference, the Gators over 6.5, bet it when it was -138 to the over. That number now 7.5, the juice on the under at about -144. I really believe in DJ Lagway. I believe in this Florida team that I think, Joe, could have taken a huge step back with a very difficult slate last year under Billy Napier when that seat was starting to get warm in Gainesville. And instead, they looked like the Billy Napier sides at Louisiana that, as an underdog, would either play incredibly frisky, or they might just win the darn game outright, including, of course, playing spoiler to both LSU and Ole Miss there in the swamp in terms of their SEC title and CFP hopes. You take a team that returns a ton, including that starting quarterback in DJ Lagway, and a lot of talent around that spot and on the defensive side of the football. It is a murderer's row in terms of a schedule. It is the hardest in the country, whether you use FPI or whatever your metric is, or just your own freaking eyeballs. It is very, very tough. I still think Florida gets the 7 wins. If you miss the boat on that, could it be 8? 8-4 Florida, Joe, at least down the home stretch of the season, might be in college football playoff conversations.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point when you just look at the progression of DJ Lagway. And you got a glimpse of DJ Lagway week number one when they got blown out by Cam Ward in Miami. He came on in the fourth quarter, moved the football, and you're like, okay, this kid has some gas, right? Struggled a little bit in limited action. But the last 4 games of the regular season, he gives you 4 straight victories. And we're talking about 2 teams that were looking potentially for a college football playoff. LSU was on the outside looking in. Yeah. Ole Miss certainly was in the mix, and they knocked off both of those teams in the swamp. They dominated their in-state rival, Florida State, get the bowl win over Tulane. They win 4 straight because of Lagway, because of his athleticism. He can run it. He can throw it. What does the defense give you? They were one of the best, right? I thought, down the stretch. They limited Nico and Tennessee when they were on the road. You saw that type of progression. They limited Carson Beck in the rivalry game against Georgia. You get that type of effort from the start of the year to the end. Defensively, they're going to be there. And again, be there might just be a 9-win football team, but in the SEC, when you get quality wins, that could get you into the college football playoffs. So again, hinges on Lagway, hinges on the defense. I like the look, even though the schedule's hard, which includes a road game with Ole Miss. They do have the advantage, though. You look at some of their matchups. DJ Lagway, yeah, if he plays the way he did, they're going to win some games. So I like the look over 6.5. I don't know if I'm buying in completely, but definitely a 7 or an 8 win football team at least.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, Joe, right? And I just need to go over 6.5 to get over 7.5 with some plus money, a very different football game. But with a bowl win in the Gasparilla Bowl, an 8-win season with what Florida had in terms of losing Lagway for a little bit, starting Graham Mertz, again, I think anybody would have signed up for that in year number 3 under Billy Napier. And one of the things, Joe, that I use, not just returning production, strength of schedule, all of that, is how did the team perform last year against the number? If they were favored, did they handle the business as expected? If they were an underdog, maybe even more importantly, if I'm hoping for year-over-year win improvement, did they cover numbers? Did they keep games more competitive than the odds makers anticipated? UF was booked as a dog 9 times last year. They were 6-3 against the spread in one of those non-covers when Aiden Warner was out there in the game against Texas. That was the backup quarterback, the transfer from Yale. Joe, when you look at the conference as a whole and you look at those SEC title prices, I assume LSU at 7-1 is where you're looking. Alabama, third best price at plus 500. I got a lot of belief this year in the Crimson Tide. I think they do get back near the top, maybe even flirting with that SEC title game. We'll talk a little bit more about the SEC, Big Ten next after that, as we keep it rolling here on FFC. But Joe, I'm going to highlight one more team from the SEC when we come back. That's them boys down in Norman. We'll see what the new offense has in store. Again, a very difficult schedule for the Sooners this year. We'll break it down on the other side of the break here live on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next-level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next-level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. One final point on the SEC. We move on to the Big Ten after that. Joe, this Oklahoma team is going to make me feel some sort of way, I think, at times. Win total 6.5 for Brent Venables and the Sooners, who, of course, need a much better year than year number 3 under Venables last year in Norman. Year 2, pretty good with Dylan Gabriel. Year 3, regression with a variety of quarterbacks. Jackson Arnold first and foremost. Who is the new quarterback now? That would be Wheeling, Stealing Wheels of Steel, John Mateer, who transfers over from Pullman. That would be Washington State, following his young OC, Ben Arbuckle, who is the new OC in Norman. Who joins him? Another former Pac-12 player of sorts, I guess, in the ACC, Jaden Ott, the talented running back from Cal. And Joe, you look at some of the metrics around Oklahoma's defense last year, middle of the pack, perhaps, in yardage and points allowed in the SEC. To me, it's not a true picture. The amount of snaps that Venables' unit was out there on the field needing to keep Oklahoma even close in games, the fact they did what they did, to me, speaks to how strong they are. 10th most returning production in all of college football. I'm talking myself, Joe, into 8-win Oklahoma and maybe even more.
I talked to you about that about a month ago when we hit on some win totals that, you know, John Mateer and that defense with Brett Venables that came on and knocked off Alabama potentially could be a dark horse. The schedule's very difficult, but that Mateer could be a Heisman candidate the way he played last year for Washington State. Had them in the mix. They were potentially, you know, a 9 or a 10 win football team at the end of the regular season. Stepped up. He's a dual threat. He can run it. He can throw it. But it was the defense for Brett Venables. He started to take over the play calling duties yet again. They elevated in games. They shut down Jalen Milroe, held him to only 3 points in that dominating home win. If you get that, they're going to be there. Now, when you look at just, you know, some of the teams that they have to play against, Texas and just, you know, some of the road games that they have, they're going to need their best effort. And that's why the win total is a little bit light. But if they get through it, Ben, and you look at their price in terms of SEC action, 55-1 to win a natty. I mean, that's like a lottery ticket. You talk about two teams and you can, and I'll throw in the other, you know, South Carolina and Lenora Sellers, knowing how they played and knowing that the talent that they have coming back offensively and defensively, I'll take a shot on both teams at 60 and 55-1 respectively to be those dark horses in the conference.
You know, Joe, it's a little bit difficult, of course, to look back at the stats now from the end of 2024, given teams made it to the college football playoff in the longest ever season. We saw teams play 16 games, potentially, if they got to a conference championship game. And Ohio State and Notre Dame, of course, who played in the national championship, also 16 games as well. So their snaps, their total amount of plays, certainly out there. But, Joe, Oklahoma was on the field for 800. Oklahoma's defense on the field for 837 plays. And they allowed just 4.94 yards per play. All of those things about how not just in total, but efficient this OU defense was. I bet the over of 6.5. And it's one thing to have John Mateer slinging it out on the ploose there in Wazoo. And you could question, all right, but now it's the SEC. It's different week in, week out. I hear it. But he follows his offensive coordinator in Ben Arbuckle, and he understands that dynamic scheme. He's played in that dynamic scheme. It's not just a guy getting paid to go to the SEC after a great year at a Pac-12 school. Really like what I see out of the Sooners this upcoming season. All right, Joe, quick transition now as we go to the Big Ten, and I'm sure we will spend more time around this conference in the summer. I posted this yesterday. I've been high on this team the entirety of this offseason, and I really do believe that this team has a great chance of being a college football playoff contender. That would be the Illinois Fighting Illini. So much returning production this year for Brett Bielema, who has done incredible things in his few years in Champaign. Fourth most returning production in the country. 75% of the roster is back. Most in the Big Ten. And Joe, we're talking 16, 17 starters, including quarterback Luke Altmyer, including J.C. Davis along the offensive line, including guys defensively like Gabe Aukus, one of the most underrated edge rushers in the Big Ten Conference. Give me Xavier Scott. Give me the Illini. You look at the schedule, over 8.5, plus money to the over. Take that right now. I think Illinois is a 10-win football team. I think the Fighting Illini are playing in the college football playoff.
Wow, that would be shocking, right? And that would be a huge turnaround from where Lovie Smith had this program about 3 years ago when Brett Bielema took over. Altmyer and that team are very physical, running the football, very good at the point of attack and physical on the defensive front. You mentioned 75% of the productivity coming back. They returned 7 starters on the defensive side of the ball. But again, we talk about schedule, okay? So let's just look at the schedule to start. Western Michigan, Duke to start the year, Western Illinois, Indiana. We know that obviously Indiana were the darlings last year, but just looking now with Rourke moving on, Altmyer definitely has the quarterback advantage in that matchup. USC never lives up to expectations, and Lincoln Riley's on the hot seat. Purdue in a rebuild with Barry Odom. All right, Ohio State is the key game. They get that game in Champaign. Let's say they lose. You get Washington, Rutgers, Maryland, Whiskey, Northwest, all winnable games and all games potentially where you have the quarterback advantage. You should be a 9 or a 10 win football team. Am I buying in? No, I'm not. You might be right. I just can't do it. It's Illinois.
I get it.
I understand. And again, if you want a telltale sign of just, you know, the game that maybe stood out, yeah, that, you know, the games against Minnesota and all those games. I'm talking about the win over Michigan, where they came to their house and they beat the Michigan Wolverines up, running the football, blue collar. Forget chucking the ball all over the yard. They ran it down their throat and they shut down the run. And that was the telltale sign that Bielma elevated this program to the next level. The schedule lines up. I love the bet. I'm just not making it because I can't buy into big Brett Bielma and his beer belly early on. We'll see.
Listen, I love me some Burt, man. Guy knows how to win in the Big Ten. And given that strength of schedule, Joe, if they can get to 10 wins, they could be reminiscent of an Indiana team last season. And believe me, the calls of schedule are going to be big for the Illini this year. More around the Big Ten on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next-level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next-level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
As we break down the Big Ten, looking at some win totals, I told you I am very high on the Illinois Fighting Illini, Joe, but the highest win totals in this conference, which are actually the highest win totals in all of the Power Four level, Oregon, 10.5. Under has the juice at minus 122. Ohio State, 10.5. Under has the juice at minus 128. Penn State, 10.5. Under has the juice at minus 144. Those three teams, Joe, we can expect to all be contending for a Big Ten title come the end of November. There is a lot to love about what Penn State brings back this year. We have asked this question numerous times in the previous summers. Is this finally the time that James Franklin in State College, Pennsylvania, breaks through, beats Ohio State, and wins a Big Ten championship? They did play against Oregon in the Big Ten title game in Indy last December and came up on the losing end. Joe Lisi, Drew Aller is back. Nick Singleton is back. Katron Allen is back. Denai Dennis Sutton is back on the defensive side of the ball, and a litany of others. So is this Penn State's year?
To win a Big Ten championship, I would take the price at 260. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. If it's not going to be this year, it's not going to be ever, okay? And you mentioned the talent and the strict fact that Jim Knowles now is there. Okay, discipline-wise, scheme-wise, they'll be better. Will they be elite? They were always good on the defensive side of the ball. Manny Diaz, Tom Allen. I mean, you know, the defense was never the issue. Can they be national championship caliber? Yeah, they can with Jim Knowles. Is that the question mark? No. The question mark is Drew Aller in a big spot. And go to the game last year, two in particular, at home against Ohio State, where they had a 10-0 lead and the national champion or semifinal playoff loss to Notre Dame. He did not step up. He didn't step up two years ago in their three losses where he had less than a 50% completion percentage. So from a betting perspective, if you're saying, Joe, I'm going to give you $1,000, bet it on a national champion. I'm not betting it on Penn State. Now, I will bet it on Penn State if you want, or sprinkle a little, because if it doesn't happen this year, it's never going to happen. with Ohio State's question marks, knowing that they lose Jim Knowles, knowing that they lose Ebuka, and knowing that they lose Will Howard and all of those running back talent that them have moved on. If you can't beat them this year, something's on James Franklin, and he has to answer the bell. So the safer bet for me is the plus 260 against the likes of Oregon and Ohio State, where you should have the quarterback advantage. But that is a huge question mark. I'll just say that.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. Right? The quarterback advantage of having Drew Aller back in Andy Kotelnicki's system for a second consecutive year should be there. But Joe mentioned the college football playoff semifinal loss to Notre Dame. And in those critical moments when you needed to play out of Drew Aller, a positive play, it was the opposite. It was a turnover. It was an interception. Of course, it was well highlighted. No wide receiver for Penn State caught a football during the semifinal loss to the Fighting Irish. How have they addressed that? They bring in Trevor Pena at the wide receiver spot, Kyron Hudson from USC. That's all well and good. It's still got to be Drew Aller delivering when all is said and done. Not to win 10 games. Schedule is okay, middle of the pack within the Big Ten. Not to make the college football playoff, but to win the Big Ten title, for sure. And of course, Joe, to win a national championship, that definitely has to be the consideration around Drew Aller and the Nittany Lions. Are any national champs in Ohio State? Joe, the big question is, when you're that talented and you have 13 guys drafted in the National Football League, how do you replace all of that production? Well, they still have some incredibly important players back. Jeremiah Smith, the best wide receiver in college football, and Caleb Downs on the other side defensively. Matt Patricia, the new guy orchestrating the scheme, and Julian Sain, more than likely, Joe, that's starting QB in Columbus this upcoming season.
Yeah, I don't buy into Matt Patricia. I'm sorry. He's coming back to the college game. We see these defensive coordinators and these NFL coaches come back. Yeah, Chip Kelly did it, but at least he had coaching experience at the college level. Matt Patricia, to me, is a fish out of water. Are they going to be, you know, an 8-win football team? I think they're 9-3. I think that's where we're looking for Ohio State. I think the bullseye is on their back. I have concerns about the defense as well. I think they regress a little bit, even with Caleb Downs there. And again, you know, Ryan Day, for the most part, you know, got it served on a platter, you know, clean road straight through, you know, nice national championship. It's good. But now the bullseye, now they're the hunted. Let's see if they can do it back to back.
In Ann Arbor, right? A lot will ride on Bryce Underwood, the young and promised multi-million-dollar freshman. The schedule is a cakewalk for the Wolverines. If they don't win 9 games, bad sign for Sherrone Moore. He is Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.